26. Verses 17 to 30. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. And when it was evening, he took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man, one not to have been born." And Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." And while they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." So said all the disciples. "Here am I, a servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word." This is the word of God for we the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. Whenever Jesus said to his disciples that he was going to die, that he was going to be handed over, to be killed, he was going to be betrayed, the disciples were greatly distressed. And I think they started that process of grief. In Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's study of grief, the first stage of grief is denial. Denial. It's usually denial, then anger, then sadness, depression, bargaining, and then finally acceptance. But we see the disciples engage in acts of denial. One moment earlier in Matthew where Jesus heard Peter confess, when he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, you're the Messiah, you're the Lord, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God. And Jesus told Peter that was revealed to him by the Father. But then in the next breath, Peter, after Jesus said that he's going to be betrayed, he's going to be handed over to death, Peter starts to deny that. And that's when Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." So when the disciples become greatly distressed, they start to show that denial. And so here Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, One of you will betray me. They get distressed. And then they say to one another, surely not I, Lord. Surely not I, Lord. Now, these were the men, the young men, the old men that were following and walking with Jesus since he started his ministry. And you would think they'd be able to keep each other accountable, watch over one another, be their brother's keeper. But one of them was going to betray Jesus. And as we heard, where Peter said, though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you. He says, even though I must die with you, I must not deny you. And in Matthew's gospel, it's not just Peter that says this. It says, and so said all the disciples. They were all starting to grieve. They were all realizing that Jesus had said that my time is near. His time had come near. His time when he would fulfill the mission that God called him to carry out on behalf of Israel, to be the scapegoat for all of Israel's sins, and to reveal himself as that Passover lamb for them. When he took that bread, he said, take and eat, this is my body. And he took that cup and he said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for you. The blood of the covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. We must never believe that we are above denying Jesus. That if we would have been in their shoes, that each of us might not have been like Judas. That sometimes Jesus doesn't meet our expectations. Sometimes Jesus doesn't come to save us in the way that we want him to come save us. Or he doesn't make us feel better the way we want him to make us feel better at times in our life. Being a disciple comes with disappointment, comes with suffering, comes with sorrow, comes with grief. And Jesus had this intimate meal with them when they celebrated the Passover. And they had bread like this, unleavened bread. Tonight we have unleavened bread that Roger and Kelly have graciously prepared for us. And if you go to a Jewish Passover Seder, they'll have matzah. And the matzah is unleavened bread. And the matzah is both pierced and even sometimes has like stripes from the cooking on it. And he would break that bread and give it to them. And they had done the Passover feast. They'd done that for years since they were younger. In their homes, with their families. But tonight, the Passover took on a whole new meaning because this was going to be Jesus' last meal. That's why we call it the Last Supper. And he planned to spend it with the people that he loved the most. But those were the people who were in denial. Those were the people, his disciples, who had left everything to follow him. But when he revealed the truth that he was going to die for them, he was the only one who could do it. They were in denial. But I think about that scripture. How many of you know Psalm 23? Why don't we say that together? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Anoint me head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But that verse that jumps out at me is, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. These were his disciples. These were like family to him. These were his friends. But when they denied him that he was going to die for them, in that moment they betrayed him. They became his enemies. Even if Judas was the one who actually carried a coup against Jesus and betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, when they started to grieve and deny and become distressed that his time had come, they all started to betray him in their hearts. And as Jesus said, you will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. And what happens next after this is Jesus goes with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be grieved. Jesus began to be grieved and agitated. And then he said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me. I've read that many times. But this week I thought about that in a different light. He says, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Was he grieved because he knew he was going to die? Or was he so grieved that this was a last temptation for him? He was tempted in the wilderness, and he resisted the devil three times with scripture. Then it says Satan went away until another opportune time to test him. What if this was another test of his soul? And he wasn't just grieved to the point of death, but Jesus might have been tempted to even to go away from the mission or even possibly to take his life. What if his disciples were there to stand watch for him because they were on suicide watch for him? He was deeply grieved and agitated to the point of death. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. And then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. Or as Jesus taught them to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he says this, and this is something I've taken to heart in my life. I found this to be true again and again. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Look around. You are the faithful few who are here tonight. And there's been other Maundy Thursdays where we've had a big meal and there's been more people here. But the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Then it says he went again away for a second time and prayed. My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And so leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time the same words. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. And my Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And then, of course, while he's still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him with a large crowd with swords and clubs, and from the chief priests to the elders of the people. Now, the betrayer had given them a sign, because for some reason they didn't recognize Jesus, maybe because it was dark, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." So this is betrayal at the most intimate level. This is betrayal with a kiss. And at once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." Because Judas always called him Rabbi. The disciples called him Lord, but Jesus called him Rabbi, or teacher. And he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, he didn't say betrayer, he said this. He said, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Even though it was his betrayer, Jesus still called him friend. And I think he looks at us, even when we betray him in our hearts at times, he still looks at us with love and says, "Friend." He says, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and they laid hands on Jesus and they arrested him. And suddenly one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword and drew it and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then will the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?" And at that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place." And this is something that is said again and again in Matthew. "So that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." And then it says, "All the disciples deserted him and fled." Fulfilling what he said, "You will all become deserters of me because of this night. It is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." So this is the word of God. For we, the people of God, let us say, thanks be to God.